Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Friend, what we know of Christ, we learn from the inspired record, which is the Bible, and from the teaching of Christ and what he authorized to be taught in his name. In Scripture, we have this question, what think ye of Christ? And our answer is found in Scripture. In Philippians 2 and verse 5, Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. And with that, he showed how Christ was humble and obedient, submissive, serving, and we are to imitate him, and we are to save the same attitude toward things that our Lord had. Now, what was his attitude toward the Word of God? Well, obviously, it was to be loved and respected and obeyed, never blasphemed nor changed, but considered with the deepest awe and reverence. Friend, when we pick up the Bible, it's different from all other books. It is the Word of God, and that must be the attitude that we have because that was the attitude of Christ toward the Word. Now, in his pre-incarnate state, that is, before he took the form of flesh, he is identified as the Logos, the Word, John chapter 1. The word Logos refers to both the message and the messenger. This simply means that Christ was the message and the messenger of God's scheme for redeeming man. And he contended that we see him as we see the Father. The Father and the Son are not the same person, but they are of the same nature, and there's no way to separate deity from the Word. The Father and the Word, they're together. Now, dear listener, Jesus is the very personification of the Word. As noted, he is so identified before he was born of the Virgin Mary. While here he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he remarked, thy word is truth. Well, this word became flesh, the only begotten Son of God. Jesus could no more deny the word than he could deny himself. He lived truth. He demonstrated truth. He revealed truth. He taught truth. And as one learns about the person of Jesus Christ, he learns about the word. And as one learns of Christ, he learns the very essentials of the Word. And as he studies the Word, the person of Jesus Christ is made known to him. Yes, Christ and the Word are inseparable. Now, Jesus showed his respect for the Word at the age of 12, when he discussed the matters of God's law with the religious teachers in the temple. Having been inadvertently left behind by Mary and Joseph after attending the Passover, after 3 days of their searching for him, he was found in conversation about the law, the Word of God. And he said, know ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Friend, can't you see that Jesus connected the Father's business with the Word of the Lord? And Jesus used the Word to defeat Satan when Satan attacked him in the wilderness through a series of temptations. Now, without discussing all the ramifications of each temptation just here, suffice it for our study to note that in each instance of Jesus being tempted, Jesus rebuffed the onslaught directed against him by the proper use of the Word. In each case, he responded, it is written, it is written, it is written. And he proceeded to quote passages from the book of Deuteronomy. He exposed and opposed the devious ways of the devil. I personally think there must be some significance in the fact that the first book that modernists, and they are those who deny the Bible is the Word of God, modernists made their original attacks against the Bible by attacking the book of Deuteronomy. Well, without question, modernists are servants of the devil, and what better service could they render to their spiritual father than to attack the very portion of the Scripture that was used to deflate the devil's wicked intents? Notice also, in this exchange between Christ and Satan, Christ disallowed the devil's misuse of the word. Now, the ability to quote scripture, the devil could do. But the ability to quote scripture in no way assures that the one quoting it rightly divides the word of truth. Yes, even the devil can quote scripture, but the main point pertinent to our investigation is that the word was sufficient to ward off the blows of Satan, and Christ would not allow the word to be misused. Now, the word of God is the very centerpiece of the teaching of Jesus. Our Lord used words to convey the mind of deity to the mind of humanity. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, it affirms the verbal inspiration of what the apostles taught. These words, though they are words from the vocabularies of men, they were chosen by deity. You see, friend, by the use of words, God has revealed his will to man, what God has done for man, and furthermore, what God expects of man in return. And God requires that man obey his word. 1 John 5 and verse 3, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. By his word, we're informed of his doctrine, and we're informed of examples that we're to imitate. In fact, we're told about himself. By his word, he teaches principles that we are to follow through the parables. By his word, he reasoned. He implied and taught truth. He answered questions. He refuted error. No, it's not by feelings and special so-called direct revelations from God that teaches people the will of God. It's by and through his word. How else could man ever know the mind of God, except God uses his word as a means of communication to man? That's the way God teaches man his will. And the respect that Jesus had for the word is seen in his insistence that the word be fulfilled. In other words, he had the attitude, if God said it, it must be true. When he was talking about the law of Moses, he said he didn't come to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill it. He came to do what the Lord pointed was coming. And part of his mission was to accomplish that very thing. He was determined to uphold God's word. The prophets of old had prophesied, they had foretold the coming of these things concerning Christ, and Jesus said he came to do that and fulfilled the word. At his baptism, he announced that it was to fulfill all righteousness. Well, Psalm 119, verse 172 tells me and you that the commandments of God are righteousness. You see, Jesus was baptized in order to obey the commandments of the Father. In fact, his entire earthly ministry was committed to doing the Father's will. It was his idea, "Thy will be done." That was the watchword of his life. Yes, he spoke in parables so that the previously revealed word might be fulfilled. Often in his teaching he would remark, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears." He traveled about Palestine in fulfillment of God's prophetic word, and never did he spare himself that the word might be fulfilled. And he made reference that the scripture might be fulfilled and once declared, "The scripture cannot be broken." John 10 and verse 35. Why, who can miss the respectful attitude that Jesus had toward the word? Now, while the book of God is not designed to be primarily a history book, when it speaks of historical matters, it speaks without error. Jesus so considered it historically correct regarding such things as the creation, the events of Jonah, of Sodom, the serpent in the wilderness, all the miracles of both Old Testament. These things are not myths, dear friend. They're not fables. They're not fiction. Jesus considered those miracles recorded in Scripture as historically accurate. We cannot accept Christ without accepting what he thought of the reported miracles in the Word. And let me just inject here that once you believe in God, there's no problem believing the rest of the Bible, including the miracles. Jesus said of the Word, "They testify of me." To know Christ, one must know the Word. Jesus said, "Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God." Obviously, Jesus advocated a person to have knowledge of the Word, lest he fall into error. "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" he said. Jesus expected people to have knowledge of the Word of God. And he so exalted the Word that he taught it as the source of life. Yes, he was obedient to God's Word. He taught that man must obey God's Word. The genuineness of one's professed love is contingent on his obedience to God's Word. Disobedience means the commandments of God are of none effect. The dead baptism of John was rejected by some, but it was a divine commandment, and it should have been obeyed. But they did not obey it, and they rejected God in disobeying it. Everything we do in service to God must be according to his Word. Obedience is not optional, friend. We cannot just have it just any way that we want. How different is the attitude of Jesus toward the Word that many people have today, even religious teachers? Now, someday there will be the coming of the Lord, there will be the resurrection of all, and there will be the day of judgment. That we shall be judged is repeatedly affirmed in the epistles that were written by the inspired apostles. But what will be the measure by which we shall be judged? Jesus said it is the Word that he taught, John 12 and verse 48. Having presently before us the very standard by which our destiny in eternity will be determined, why do we not spend more time and effort in coming to a knowledge of it so that we might conform our lives to it and that we might stand with confidence and hope when the time comes to stand before God in judgment? In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter wrote, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Jesus said in Matthew 24, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Why, that was his attitude toward the Word. It's unmistakable as to what his attitude is. You know, the grave problem with some people is their disrespect for God's Word. Unlike Jesus, some hold it in contempt. Some remain ignorant of it. They wrest it, they twist it, they abuse it, they defy it, they disobey it, rebel against it. We know the attitude of Jesus toward the Word. What is my attitude? What is your attitude? You see, friend, when Paul preached to those in Thessalonica, they received what he preached with the same attitude that Jesus has toward the Word. Paul said, "When you received the Word of God, which ye received of us, ye received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God, which effectually worketh in you that believe." Ah, yes, we can understand when we study the Scripture what was the mind of Christ. And we're to have the same mind, we're to have the same attitude that he had toward all things. And here we're talking about his attitude toward the revealed Word of God. The next time you pick up your Bible, to read it and to study it, hold it with reverence, hold it with respect, determined to believe and to obey. That's the attitude of Christ toward the Word. And that should be your attitude as well. Well, we appreciate you listening to our program. Remember to fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. This is a burning fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.